Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. It is good to be back with you this week, and this week back with my partner in crime, Dan Fisher. Of course, Pastor Dan wasn't with us last week, so we had a special broadcast. I hope that you enjoyed the overview of America. But today, Dan, you know, I remember selling our congregation when the Obergefell decision was passed down, and the Supreme Court took it upon themselves to say, God, you have no idea what marriage is supposed to be. We're gonna let man determine that standard. I said that we have now stepped into the twilight zone.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. In fact, I forewarned about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I never really considered that we'd actually reach a point where we couldn't figure out what gender someone was, or that was fluid. It could change from day to day.
Yeah.
I really didn't think that man was capable of that kind of depravity. But
yeah. Oh, we
I'm
are
wrong. But talk about
no, we
what
are.
We're gonna,
yeah.
This is what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, in 2015, you have the Obergefell decision, which redefines marriage. So man takes it upon himself to define what God created. Mm. So if God doesn't define it, then what's the definition? Well, apparently there is none.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me?
No, it's exactly
I'll decide
right.
what marriage is.
So you and I have talked about, and we've been preaching for years, this whole idea of the slippery slope and how if the camel ever gets his nose into the door of the tent, then it won't be too long until the whole camel's in the tent, right?
Yep.
Okay. Everybody laughs at us and says, oh, you guys, you're just prophets of doom. You know, it's not going to be that bad. So we've been predicting for years same-sex marriage is going to become reality. Okay, that has. That's 7 years ago. Now, just a few days ago, an evictions court, I didn't know there was such a thing, but New York City has evictions courts. A judge there.
Trial court,
ruled in an eviction court that a polyamorous relationship deserves the same consideration under the Constitution as a two-person marriage. Forget about the sex. In this particular instance, it was three guys, three dudes, and they claim to have had this polyamorous relationship. So now the court, even though it's at eviction court level, is recognizing polyamorous relationships.
Well, it's the beginning of precedent. You now
of course
have a court ruling out there that says marriage can be whatever you want it to be. So not only did man redefine it as to where it could be two men or two women, but now it could be two men and three women.
Yeah.
Or four men and a cat.
Or how about 40 men?
40 men, exactly.
Or 60 women.
Because if the creator and the ultimate lawmaker can't decide what the law is, and it's up to man to decide what law is, and I guess by a majority vote, we can change that every day.
Just to be anything you want it to be.
Exactly.
And it won't just stop with this.
Yep.
It could be, well, this is not stealing. So, for instance, in New York, which is a wonderful place, apparently, really godly people, this nonsense comes out of there. So in New York, if you don't steal $1,000 worth of dry goods, but you steal $999 worth, you didn't commit a crime. Now, just imagine if someone does that 5 days a week. So basically, they're stealing $1,000 a week. I mean, a day. Do that 5 days a week. That's $5,000 worth of goods. If you could fence that for 50%, you're making $2,500 a week stealing legally in New York City.
But they're taking Sundays off because they're honoring the Lord, at least.
Well, of course. Yeah, they're probably deacons in a Baptist church somewhere, for my experience. So Paul, here's the deal. Now, let's think about somebody's going to say, well, I don't care. You know, if 30 people want to be in a marriage, that's their choice. I mean, freedom, man. Okay, let's just ask a question. What kind of practical implications could this have on lives of everyday citizens who do not practice same-sex marriage or don't practice polyamorous relationships? Now, I can think of one right off the start, and there may be others. Let's think about a company that pays for their employees marriage benefits, like health benefits and other things. Does that mean that eventually, if you were still running Blair Vending and you offered family benefits for one of your employees and he or she happened to be in a 40-person marriage, you got to cover all those people?
I'm legally married to the entire city of Edmond, so you've got to cover 90,000 people now. Hey, that's a way to beat Obamacare, though.
No, that's exactly right. But if you think about it, Paul, if polyamorous relationships become protected by the U.S. Constitution, then wouldn't practical things like family benefits have to cover all of the people in that family?
It would have to be. It would have to.
So what's that going to do to a typical business who can barely afford to pay family benefits for the few employees they have? What's that going to do?
It's going to tank it.
Yeah, so they're going to go out of business.
No way. That's exactly right.
So when people say, well, this is New York, it doesn't affect me, and I'm not going to do this. See, you don't live on an island.
Mm-hmm.
These things affect us.
Yeah. Folks, we've stepped into the insane asylum.
Yeah.
I mean, we are truly in the twilight zone. So, you know, what can we do about it? And of course, I would tell our pastors that are listening, you know, we can't affect New York City. I mean, we're here in Edmond.
We have
very little impact in Edmond.
Well, we probably don't. We don't send missionaries to New York, though. I can tell you that.
No doubt.
That's a foreign world.
But I think one of the things we've got to do is we've got to be adamant about absolute truth within our own families,
raising
our children.
That's exactly right.
And as pastors with the congregations that God has entrusted us with, our flocks. And if we have enough pastors that stand up for the truth across a community or across the country, we can at least defy the spread of abomination.
Oh, exactly. But here's the thing, Paul. If pastors do not preach this
adamantly,
now I mean adamantly, this is what God says, and there's no varying left or right to this. God says marriage is one man, one woman.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And we don't preach that adamantly. Some of our people are going to think, well, you know, the Bible's not really clear on this. And, you know, we don't know. We probably need to give a little slack to these folks.
And I love the people that say, well, Jesus never talked about, well, first of all, he did.
He did talk about
Matthew
this.
19. But the reality is, where was the Word of God? Did it begin only in the red letters in the Gospels?
No, of course
not. No, it began in Genesis 1:1 and ends in Revelation 22. So, in fact, Jesus did talk about all of this.
Well, and Jesus even said that if you'll search the Scriptures, which you and I know is the Old Testament, you'll find me because they speak about me, and yet you've got preachers, well-known preachers like Andy Stanley saying that you need to chuck your Old Testament. Just get rid of that, and that way we can have Christianity with amnesia, and we don't know who we are, why we are, and what we are. We just kind of following these red letters here.
Yep, that's no doubt.
So we have to be adamant then in the midst of something like this so that our people don't hedge, because our young people are going to hedge.
And the reality is there is truth, and it applies to all of us.
Yeah,
God,
that's right.
God did define marriage. God did create two sexually compatible beings on purpose. So one of the things that I think we have to do as Christians, of course, with the proper understanding of who's in the room, but if our kids aren't taught biblical truth of sexuality, they're going to be curious. When they hit puberty, they're going to be curious. They're going to say, why do I feel the way I do? Why is my body doing what it's doing? If we don't teach them biblically what God has created us for, then their only recourse is to learn it at school or on the internet or from some depravity like this.
No, that's
so
right.
It's imperative that we as pastors, we teach comprehensive. That means every area of life. Biblical worldview.
That's right.
What does the Lord have to say about this area of my life and that area of my life and that area of my life? Sadly, we ignore most of that as pastors have through the years.
But not only that, Paul, even we have to teach proper heterosexual attitudes about sex. Because why does a young man and young woman, why shouldn't they just have sex on their second or third date? I mean, they feel the urge, you know, the hormones. So there's a reason why, and God says, because it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be the same reason that I would tell my little 1.5-year-old grandson, don't touch that stove. Now, he's not going to understand hot and it's going to burn me and leave a blister and maybe a horrible scar. He has to learn no.
Mm-hmm.
No, do not touch that. Now, as he gets older, I can explain to him why, but I've just got to tell him no.
Yeah.
You do not touch that. And so sometimes I fear that modern pastors are afraid to just say, because God said so.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's other explanations, and God says why, all of the, but really, if God said don't do it,
absolutely,
and he never told us why, that's still enough.
Well, think about it is God created us. He created us for a purpose in mind.
Yep.
And we will never find that joy of our reason for existence when we're trying to pursue the lusts of the flesh. There's not enough to fulfill your covetousness.
Solomon says so.
Power.
The book of Ecclesiastes, he said, I tried it all.
And it's amazing.
It's all vain.
That's exactly, yeah. And it's amazing that when we do it God's way, God, as Isaiah says, God's way are above our ways, His thoughts are above our thoughts.
Yep,
it's amazing how much better it works when we listen to the Creator and follow His intent of creation. When we're in His will, it always works best. Yeah.
Well, you know, I hear the argument today, even by sometimes well-meaning Christians, well, but you know, they love each other and this fulfills them. Well, here's the problem, Paul, because of my fallen state that I received from Adam, even though I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I still battle with the flesh. There are things that are wrong that I think would meet my needs. Now, for maybe momentarily they would. But Scripture goes on to say, but Dan, the end of those brings death.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if I don't go to hell over it, it's going to bring death to a part of my life. And so what pastors have got to do is we've got to cut through the fog of, well, you know, they love each other, or this is fulfilling for them. Doesn't matter. It might actually satisfy the flesh for a little while. You know, when the Bible talks about Moses, it said that he chose to experience the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while or for a season.
That's right.
So no one's arguing that to just follow your flesh isn't fun for a while. But ask a 90-year-old who has followed the lust of their flesh for their whole life, is it worth it when you're 90?
And the reality is we have redefined, quite frankly, not just in America, but I'm sure in Western civilization, we have allowed this compromise to be taught. We have been taught that love is just emotions, or love, and we've redefined lust.
Feelings.
We've redefined lust as love.
It's infatuation.
Hugh Hefner generation has redefined lust as love. No, that's lust. God created us. We have four different loves: agape, phileo, storge, and eros. Eros is the intimate. That is that erotic.
Yeah.
But God created it to be held holy. In fact, Hebrews says it's holy.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable among all men, and the bed undefiled. Yeah. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will.
But it's only a fraction of love.
Oh, yeah.
It's even out of the four words, it's 1/4.
That's it. And see, it's not. They're not taking these. They're not basing it on that agape foundation of love. They're basing it on lust.
And the perfect example of how love is not always a feeling is the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And when Jesus is in the garden, He's saying, "Lord, if there's any other way." That was not something that Jesus wanted to do in the flesh, but the Bible says, but because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And we just have to understand that sometimes just because somebody loves something doesn't mean it's always the right thing to do.
Buddy, before we close up, you have preached before in our congregation about Romans 1 and reprobate mind. Tell the audience, what exactly does reprobate mean in that situation?
Well, you know, in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives the characteristics of a culture that has just turned its back on God. And eventually, Paul says, and so for that reason, God has turned His back on that culture. Three times he says God gave them over. And the last time he says He gave them over to a reprobate mind. And literally what that means in the original language is a mind that does not think properly. It just cannot function properly, which means it can't function the way God designed for it to function, a reprobate mind. And I really believe, Paul, that that's why we're seeing this in our culture. I think we're a Romans 1 culture, and God has turned us over to minds that just will not think properly.
You know, along those lines, I texted a preacher friend of mine, actually, that leads a he's a priest at a Catholic congregation here in Edmond, but he's a bold warrior.
Yeah.
He had called down to the OU Medical Center to talk to them about this gender-affirming care. And he's trying to reason with the person that he's communicating with on the phone. And this person is approaching him as if he, as a minister, doesn't know what he's talking about. They're providing gender-affirming care by taking 12-year-olds and binding them, cutting their breasts off, castrating them. That's gender-affirming. No, that's not. That's child abuse.
Yes.
But the modern mind says, oh, no, that's gender-affirming.
Yeah.
I would say that's a definition of the reprobate mind.
I guarantee. And Paul, the Bible is very clear about this. Whether we agree with it or not, there's a payday someday.
Absolutely.
And God is going to judge this world, and yep. those who are lost are going to hear the worst possible words they could ever hear. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Mm-hmm. I never knew you. And they'll go away, the Bible says, into everlasting judgment, into a place called the lake of fire.
You know, the Bible says that we as believers will give an account to God one day.
That's exactly
for
right.
how we have responded or handled what he has entrusted to us.
Yeah.
Not all of us have the same calling.
No.
But have we been faithful to what God has entrusted to us? So whether we have a family of four, maybe you're a mother with three kids and a husband, or you pastor a church of 50, or you pastor a church of 5,000 or 50,000, we are responsible to faithfully handle what God has entrusted
to us. That's right. Preach the truth, so teach the truth no matter what.
We better be making disciples of our congregation in every area, and this is one. It's amazing that well, think about it. We were both born. When were you born? 1960?
59.
59. I was born in 63.
Yeah, you're just a child.
I never thought we would be seeing the things that we're seeing in this world.
No, but I'll tell you, for the last 25 years or so, you and I have been warning that this is where we're headed. And I think this is not the end of it.
Oh, no.
It's going to be worse. Bestiality's next. Pedophilia's next.
As it was. Well, that's now pedophilia is now. They're demanding it be redefined as a minor attracted person.
Yeah.
And understand the logic here. If God created them that way, then they can't help themselves.
No, that's right.
Oh, well, he's homosexual, but God created him that way. No.
No.
I'm very clear in Scripture. God did not create them that way. But if that's logical, if that's true, then why can't a person be married to three men and four women? Or why can't a person be attracted to a minor if it's God's fault he created us that way?
And Paul, the average preacher, will not say that.
We better.
He just will not. Well, no, you're right. He better. Well, that pretty much wraps it up, man.
You and I can exhaust a subject faster than anybody I know.
Well, it doesn't take long to exhaust me. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, buddy, it's good to have you back.
It's good.
Glad we're able to be back on the air this week.
Thank
you for joining. Anything you want to add? Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. And until next week, God bless you.
And pray for our next training camp in Fort Lane, Idaho.
Fort Lane, Idaho, 16th of October. God bless you.
God bless you.